QSC, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Deck Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330, offset of 600 kilohertz plus, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. For more information on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club, go to www.bbarc.org. That's bbarc.org. A lot of good information there about the club and forms there to become a member. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, the only announcements we have here is we do have the air show event coming up at the end of this month, which the club will have a booth out there along with ECF. And also the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club picnic is on the 17th, and it will start up around 11 o'clock over at Sugar Loaf Park, same place, same station. And that is just about it. So anyway, and of course the meeting at the end of the month on the 31st. All right, the topic for this evening is coming from, this is actually Science News, NASA Science, and this is actually about the sun's magnetic field is about to flip, and this is online, and you can go to http://, all that good stuff, science.nasa.gov, Science News, Science at NASA, and 2013-05, pretty complex address, but anyway, just search up, Google up, sun's magnetic field flipping, and probably find this link there, that's on the NASA Science Information Center. All right, but let's get our roster out of the way here at first, with starting with WV6CLZ Mike.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the Tech Tuesday Net. This is WV6CLZ. You can also go to spaceweather.com, and it's the first article that comes up. Back to you, Tom.
Oh, okay, good deal. Yeah, I just followed that link there that you sent me, and it's pretty cool. So, anyway, good deal. Let's see. Oh, by the way, Mike, thanks for being out there. Next on the list is WV6CIN Sydney.
Good evening, Tom. This is WV6CIN.
And good evening there, Cindy. Glad to have you out there. Glad to have you up here in the mountain, actually. And I know you guys have a lot of work over there. You're working on your orchards. All right, next I have KA6CIA George, probably back in Lucerne Valley.
Hey, you're right. KA6CIA, good evening.
And good evening there, George. Glad to have you out there. And hopefully the weather is treating you right down there. Let's move on down the list here to KJ6ATS Mike. Right, not hearing Mike out there. Let's see if we can get a holler over there to WA6ITC Rod. And nothing heard from Rod. How about KJ6FIL Mike?
Good morning, all. KJ6FIL.
And top of the day to you, Mike. Hopefully everything's, all the weather's nice for you down there in Redlands. Glad to have you out there. All right, let's see. I think Jim's been tied up with some overseas phone calls. But we'll move on down here to, let's see if Frank's out there. W6GZI, Frank. Okay, don't hear Frank out there this evening. How about KAI6IQA Kelly? right. And I know he had a long, hard day today, a lot of work. Stop by to see him this afternoon. Anyway, how about K9AOG Stephen? And I haven't heard from Stephen out there. How about K6GVL Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and the Net. This is Ron, K6GVL from Green Valley Lake.
All right, Ron, glad to have you out there. Hopefully we're not getting any interference off too much out there anyway. Next, I have 86PL Harold in Riverside.
Evening, 86PL.
And good evening there, Harold. Glad to have you out there. Let's see, who I have here next is KJ6PYV Dave.
Good evening, Tom and Annette, KJ6PYV.
And good evening there, Dave. Glad to have you out there. Let's see, how about W6JLM Judith, W6KMM Ken? Let's see if they got back.
Good evening, Tom. This is W6JLM. We are now mobile on our way home, and sorry that we didn't check in with the ECS net last night. This is W6JLM.
Oh, Judith, that's okay. That's Tom with ACS. This is Tom with Tech Tuesday. Well, we knew you were out there someplace. That's okay. All right, let's move on down here to K2BBL Allen. Let's see if he's out there in Moon Ridge. All right, not hearing Allen out there. How about K6YNW Chris in the Lower Desert? All right, don't hear Chris out there, and I know that W6POO is still not out there where he's in range. How about KD6LAN Bill?
Yeah, good evening all, KD6LAN.
And good evening there, Bill. Glad to have you out there. How about Ron, WA6HF? Okay, I don't hear Ron out there. How about KJ6QYN? Let's see if Shelly's out there in Apple Valley. And I don't hear Shelly out there this evening. How about NQ7RD? Let's see if Rick's out there in Cerritos. And no Rick out there in Cerritos. Light night tonight. How about AE6CK, Victor?
Good evening, Tom and Jeanette, Victor Santa Springs.
Well, Victor, glad to hear you out there. Boy, we spent a winter of being out there for a minute. Thanks for being out there, Victor. Appreciate that. Checking in. How about KA6ROD, Rod, Moonridge?
Good evening, everyone, KA6ROD.
And good evening there, Ron. Glad to have you out there with us this evening. Let's see, I know this guy's out there. Let's see if we can raise him up there. W6JET, which I believe is in Sherlove. How about that, Rob? Are you out there?
Good evening to the net, Tom. W6JET in Sugarloaf.
Oh, good deal there, Rob. Drove by your house, however, didn't see out there, and I just was on my way back making a big circle loop, so maybe I'll get a chance we can chat here in the near future. How about KJ6RAY? Let's see if Ray's out there.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. KJ6RAY Mobile. That's 63 way going in.
Well, Ray, I know that freeway going east. Good luck. I know it gets to be pretty jammed up there, so. All right. Well, that's pretty much all of my regular list here. Let's see if we got any regulars that are in as guests or guests who would like to be regulars. Please come back to KO62, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
KJ6KDL with KDK.
Well, there's Jim and Rosemary. Hey, Jim, glad to have you out there. Didn't know if you're going to be tied up this evening. Glad to have you out there listening. Anybody else?
Yeah, Tom, you're so good at this. You whizzed right by, and I didn't even hear you. KI6IQA.
Well, I was telling everybody how hard you were working today. And by the way, came by there later on, saw a lot of sheeting up on the roof. So kudos to you. Looks like you got a lot done. Good to have you out there, Kelly. Anybody else? let's get started here, and I'm going to hand it over to Mike real quick here. Not sure if Steve responded back to you. Mike, you want to go ahead and pick that up with the interference on the Dish TV?
Tom, Steve is, everything is copacetic at this time. He's, he claims that the bands are bad, so he's not doing much to goof up the TV while Debbie's watching it. So he's okay. But I left it to where if, something came up, if there's any news or information, he'll get a hold of us and, then we'll discuss it here on Tech Tuesday. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, I did say Dish TV. That's right, he had DirecTV. And I'll bet you he never interferes with the TV while Debbie's watching it. Or the radio might be... well, we're not going to go there. Anyway, all right, good deal. All right, Mike, well, this is pretty cool. Pretty neat article here. We're not pulling this from the usual as the QST. But this is neat information. The sun's magnetic field is about ready to flip. Now, I guess this is something that does happen. Now, we've heard a lot of stuff about the Earth's magnetic field flipping. Not too sure about that, whether it has or hasn't or is going to. But this with the sun actually does happening. There's a lot more happening underneath that surface. And, Mike, anyway, this article is actually dated August 5th, pretty recent. You want to go ahead and just go ahead and pick up there in the first part of the article?
Sure will, Tom. Yeah, I was, I tool through a couple of different propagation sites, and I always like to stop at Space Weather. Kind of let you know what's going on, how many sunspots, magnetic fields, solar wind, and stuff like that, just to know what's going on. It's not really an accurate propagation tool, but just the information. Anyway, one of the articles was, pretty profound. The sun's magnetic field is about to flip. I said, oh, okay. So, kind of read into it, and the solar physicist, I've got to be able to say it first, at Stanford University, Todd Hokisama, I think it's pronounced, says that it looks like we're no more than 3 to 4 months away from a complete field reversal, and he also says this change will have ripple effects throughout the solar system. So Tom, let's take it a little further and see what's going on. I guess this happens every 11 years, but go ahead, Tom. Back to you.
Now, see, there you go. You're already getting into my paragraph here. Well, yeah, and the sun's magnetic field changes polarity approximately every 11 years. Not every 11 million or 10, 20 billion thousand, but every 11 years, which is not too far off of the solar cycle, which actually it happens at the peak of each solar cycle as the sun's intermagnetic dynamo reorganizes itself. A lot of stuff happening in underneath the sun. Actually, there is, and not to plug another deal here, but with National Geographic has a lot of very cool things they have on TV, and of course you can order these DVDs and whatnot. And they have one just about the sun. And it's interesting that the light that we see starts out, internally in the sun, is from all the heat and stuff, and it's in like millions of years that it takes to get to the surface, and then it gets to us in about, 8 or 9 minutes or whatever, something like that. So, very interesting. The sun, very, very cool. But not actually, it's very hot, but pretty neat stuff about that. So anyway, as the dynamo reorganizes itself, this coming reversal will mark the midpoint of solar cycle 24. Of course, as hams, we know the solar cycles are supposed to be one of the best times for our communications. However, it doesn't seem to be that way, and we're already halfway through. So anyway, Mike, I think this one has just not been all that great to hams. A little bit more about that if you want, but I'll let you take it from there. Back to you, Mike, from KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
Tom, the strange thing is, I'm reading other things, but before I read this, that, cycle 24 has already peaked, and it's maybe heading down, and then we're supposed to have a double peak, which is what this kind of is telling us, that the midpoint of cycle 24, half of the solar maximum is behind us, and half is yet to come, so, maybe we're going to have a double peak, and maybe this is an indicator, but let's let's go on a little bit further. I guess that Todd here is the director of Stanford's Wilcox Solar Observatory, and it's one of the few in the world that actually monitor the sun's polar magnetic field. And the poles are just about ready to change, and they watch the scientists watch that, because this has a lot to relate to climate changes and other things in the polar region of the Earth, so it's kind of important. They've been tracking the magnetograms, they call it, at Wilcox since 1976, so they've been through three grand reversals, they call them, and this is going to be the fourth that they're going to be able to observe, and I would bet this is probably the most important, just because all of the technology, all of the instruments they're using now probably are so much better. Well, they are so much better than we had back in 1976. You know, we were just barely getting into transistors back then. Well, go ahead, Tom, and let's go a little farther with this.
Yeah, and you know, of course, this is really always interesting that we've only really been watching and monitoring some of these things, like you say, since in the last 100 years. A lot of the weather events possibly back for a couple hundred years. And, you know, you go back and you say, well, what happened actually 350, 1,000, 2,000 years ago? They don't have a clue. But, and I say they, as it's all of us, other than what they can dig up from ice cores and samples and trying to find how the weather has been. But tree rings and things like that. Other than that, really hasn't been much of anything recorded. So as we move into the new era of science, and I say new era in the last 100, 150, 200 years, you know, we can start comparing things and see cycles. But the long-term cycles, of course, we have no really great way to track that. So we don't really have anything recorded other than what nature has recorded itself. So kind of a good way to actually check stuff out in the past. But anyway, let's move on here. Solar physicist Phil Scherer, which is also at Stanford, said that the sun's polar magnetic fields weaken, they go to zero, then they emerge again with the opposite polarity. So, and this is just something that is regular to happen in the solar cycles, and no big deal. So anyway, we've lived through a few, and we're going to live through a lot more. So anyway, Mike, you want to go ahead and take that from there, and let's dig in some more here. KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
I guess this is literally a big deal. The domain of the sun's magnetic influence, and it's known as the heliosphere, extends billions of kilometers beyond Pluto. So pretty big. Changes to the field's polarity ripple all the way out into the some of the deep space probes. Voyager being one of them, way out, I don't know exactly, but it's on the doorstep of interstellar space. So it's out there a ways, and I guess this magnetic field reversal will affect things that far away, and make some changes as it does, and pretty cool. Well, let's talk about some field reversals and some of the effects with the current. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, you know, when they're talking about these solar field reversals, everybody's conversation centers on the current sheet. Okay, well, what is that? So the current sheet is a sprawling surface jutting outward from the sun's equator, where the sun's slowly rotating magnetic field induces an electrical current. The current is very small, 1/10 billionth of an amp per square meter. That's not much. I mean, that is, I don't even know how they could even detect that. But there's a lot of it. The amperage flows through a region 10,000 kilometers thick. So therefore, we end up with billions and billions of kilometers wide. So therefore, yes, then we get a lot of energy there. Electrically speaking, the entire heliosphere is organized around this enormous sheet. So anyway, during the field reversals, the current sheet becomes very wavy. And Scherer likens the undulations to the seams on a baseball. as the Earth orbits the Sun, we dip in and out of the current sheet. Transitions from one side to another can stir up a stormy space weather around our planet. So, space weather is going to definitely take a turn, but, you know, we expect that in this solar cycle, so, yeah, it's going to be interesting again. And it's happened in the past, so this is nothing new. Back to you, Mike.
I guess as we get a little further into this, the cosmic rays are also affected. And as we know, cosmic rays are high energy energy particles, and these are accelerated to nearly light speed by supernova explosions and other violent events in the galaxy. Cosmic rays are what they are concerned about with astronauts, space probes, I would think maybe possibly some satellites, but I'm not sure if there's anything up that high. And some researchers say that it may even affect the cloudiness and the climate on Earth. So pretty important stuff. we like our four seasons. So yeah, I think we're going to keep those cosmic rays. But the current sheet acts as a barrier to cosmic rays and deflects them as they attempt to penetrate the inner solar system. It's a wavy, crinkly like sheet that acts as a better shield. And we're talking, I guess, about this the current sheet that they were talking about. And it acts to shield against the energetic particles from deep space. I guess as this field reversal approaches, they're already seeing, from what I'm reading here at the Wilcox Observatory, that the sun's two hemispheres are already out of sync. But I guess the North Pole has already changed its sign, and now the South Pole is racing to catch up to it. So I guess, like they said at the beginning, in 3 or 4 months, we're going to have both the poles reversed, and the second half of our solar maximum will be underway. Anything else to add, Tom?
Well, not a lot there, Mike. And of course, we do give a lot of credit here to Dr. Tony Phillips, who is the author of the article we're pulling from here. Yeah, I think that would be a little bit weird if you had a compass and that was happening here on Earth, and the compass just didn't point anywhere. You know, it didn't matter. I've got one like that, but I think it's just wore out. I think that's why. So anyway, but yeah, pretty neat stuff. And like I said, this has happened before. It's going to happen again. And it's probably during that transition. Yeah, it sounds like a little kind of weird stuff could happen, but evidently, I mean, we've got space probes out there. They've already experienced part of this or some of this before. So yeah, it's just one of those things. But it's pretty cool that we are coming up on one of them, and it's every 11 years. So hey, now 11 years from now, who knows? We may not be here to talk about it after our poles reverse and the Earth flips inside out. Okay, that was they had a movie about that, and it didn't happen. Anyway, Mike, pretty cool. Love this article. Let's see if there's anybody out there with any questions or comments. Please come back to Tech Tuesday and the group. All right, nothing heard out there. Well, anyway, Mike, pretty cool article. And need to see this stuff. You know, a lot of cool information out there. This is neat. We always pull stuff to see how the cosmic weather is doing. And by golly, this is probably one of the highlights there. So, Mike, appreciate you tracking this down for us this evening. Pretty neat stuff there. Anything else to add before we close Tech Tuesday, Mike?
See, there's a link here to is the solar max double peaked? It's a ScienceCast video. I may go look at that, and it might answer some questions I have about it. Well, hopefully we had some interest in this. It sure is more interesting to chase down Steve's type of stuff, but we really get into that. Okie dokie, Tom. I think that was a great little article, and I didn't know that the field reversed every 11 years, so it has enlightened me as to that information. Okay, Tom, back to you.
Comment?
Yeah, go ahead, Harold, color you with your comment.
There's one study out that says that this is the last solar cycle for a long while, several years, maybe 100 years or something like that. And this, apparently were in line with what happened just before the last little ice age happened. And I understand that I read part of a letter from one priest to another in Europe, and he was complaining that when he gave the communion, that the wine froze in the chalice. So I'm assuming it probably just got slushy, but still and all, to have a room that's cold enough for the wine to freeze anyway. And that's what the one group of scientists have come up with, the 86 feel.
Well, you know, and actually, I would say, Harold, that there's probably a lot of merit to the fact of these huge longer cycles, 10,000 years, 11,000 years, and on, that, and they're affected. I mean, I know that we have added CO2 to the atmosphere. There is a lot of information about that. Somebody who's actually concerned really needs to research that, because there are natural phenomena happening all the time, and within the last few years that have added way more than we have. So when we talk about 200 or 300 parts per million, there's a lot of air up there, and it takes a lot of CO2 to really change that, more than you could even imagine. But with that said, this is also a cycle that's happened before, and if we are in that turning point, and there's a lot of different types of information out there, be careful what you read, where you get it from. But yeah, it's kind of like a pendulum. Pendulum swings over to one side, slows down, stops, and then swings back. If we're about ready to head in the other direction, and that bottom is just about the middle of an ice age, which has happened over and over and over and over again, I don't think we have added that much CO2 parts per million. There's a lot of nitrogen and oxygen out there that just overwhelm the CO2. So hey, it's a little bit out of proportion, but we do have warming, and the warming changes things, and it's kind of like it flips the seasons, flips the weather patterns, and then it flips them into the direction that actually we get worse weather, kind of throws it back in the other direction. So a lot of weird stuff. I'm not sure if we understand all of it, but always fun to talk about. Anybody else out there with any more information?
Say check in K6YW.
Oh, glad to have you out there, Chris. Appreciate that. You know, also, too, you might want to check out, this is actually science, this science.nasa.gov and Science News, a lot of good articles. They've got stuff about dark matter and some of the amplified greenhouse effects and approaching asteroids. There's an asteroid coming that has its own moon. How about that? A lot of cool stuff. So a lot of neat reading material here. This is through NASA, and it's I guess what they're going to report here is at least the facts, and let's hopefully it's all enough. As they Joe Friday said, facts, ma'am, nothing but the facts. Anybody else out there with any comments, please come back. Yeah, go ahead, Harold.
People have about as much effect on the Earth as they're as minuscule as an ant, I'll put it that way. And what they do here is not going to change anything outside their own immediate environment. And usually that kind of behavior gets them a nod on the head, and they find another environment. 86 feel.
Yeah, I have to agree that essentially that is actually a lot closer to the truth there as far as what we can affect. I always love to see us getting away from fossil fuels. I just don't like paying over $4 a gallon for gas, for one reason. And that's actually, no, that's not one reason, that's the main reason. So with that all said, yeah, there's a lot of things that are going on, and they have tracked huge high CO2, just radical climbing to the sky limits of about where we are now, maybe a little bit less in the past. And this is from ice core samples and trapped air, and they've measured the trapped air that goes back tens of thousands of years ago. So I guess going by that, comments, KF6Q.
LAN.
Yeah, go ahead, Bill. And yes, the fishing will get better as it cools off. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to comment that, yeah, maybe it's a solar spot. I can't say what I wanted to say on the air. Anyway, it's a plot to make fishing worse on my lake. And by the way, I just paid $3.77 a gallon for gas. 86 LAN.
Ah, yes, it's great off the hill, isn't it? Yeah, it's, like I say, it actually dropped. It was, what, 413, 415. Paid some, had to buy some today. 404 a gallon. Wow, what a drop for up here. So 377, yeah, very cool. Glad to see it dropping. Should be 277 as far as I'm concerned. Actually, it should be 177. But anyway, that's just me. Anybody else out there, any comments, please come back before we close Tech Tuesday.
YNW.
Yes, sir. Chris, go ahead.
Yes, it's been a while since I read the figures, but I think it's something like half the CO2, enough CO2 that only half of it can be absorbed by the traditional absorbers like the trees and the oceans. Now, it might be 50%. It's a long time I looked at these figures. And so I think automobiles maybe are part of it because they made them clean, and the only thing they give off is carbon dioxide, these days. So that's just something there. Now, with the price of gasoline reset, 30, 40, 50 years ago, we used gas. We were the only ones, well, maybe a few Canadians and Brits. Now that India's on board, China's on board, we're competing for the same thing. I'm not saying that's an entire story. It isn't, but it's part of it. K6YW.
Okay, I think I had Harold there. I sort of almost covered you up there, Harold. I think that a lot of it is we need to find other fuels just because. And a lot of the new breakthroughs in battery technology and all this, we'll see where that's headed. But, there's the amazing thing. This is what I thought amazing. If you go back and you actually research online the CO2 levels in the past, and yes, they're not quite as high as they have been now, or are now. But the interesting things, for some reason, all of a sudden, they just went away. I mean, they like just disappeared. And that is weird. And nobody has an explanation for that. This is going back 10,000 years, 20,000 years, 30,000 years. So one thing that does happen with a higher increase in CO2, anybody who's done any hydroponics or anything with plant growth, elevated CO2 levels kick all plants into high gear. And of course, they love the CO2 and they kick out oxygen. So who's to say that possibly that we'll wake up one morning and we'll be in a jungle because they all decided to grow about at 100 times the normal rate? Hey, that could be a good science fiction movie. And anyway, well, just a thought. Anyway, Harold, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I paid $3.87 yesterday for the cheapest I could find, which is food for less. But they're always cheapest around here. But the price of gasoline has absolutely nothing to do with anything except the communists that have taken over the country decided 50 years ago they're going to get rid of the gasoline engine. Because they have their little program going with this phony solar and wind power. If you remember, nobody could walk across the desert, nobody could drive across the desert because it had to be pristine for future generations. Now, every bit of that pristine future generation crap is covered with windmills and solar panels and dead birds and dead animals. And we have this country alone has more oil reserves of various kinds than they have in the Middle East, and they're finding more and more all the time. Plus, you have Canada to the no danger of oil running out. AD6PL.
W again.
Yeah, Chris, just a second there. Yeah, and you know one thing, that is, it's kind of like who's going to have the last gallon of gas or the last barrel of oil. So, I mean, I can understand them stockpiling up, but I think they're stockpiling up on the fuel that we're not going to need is what's going to happen. So possibly 10, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, you know, if you owned all the oil in the world, you would control the world, but it's moving away from that. So actually, that's a good thing. Who's controlling that or getting that moving? There's like so many factions going on, Harold. It's hard to even know what's going on. But anyway, it's always interesting. And as we move ahead in the future, definitely see new stuff out there. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, two things. Any oil that's produced goes in the world market. That's just the way it is. I'm not saying it's the way we want it, but to think if we produce it here, we'll be better off. That's some arrangement beyond me. And let's see, what was my second thought? Oh, yes. Our biggest export, a lot of people don't know, is fuel, petroleum products. So go figure, K61W.
Yeah, you know, and it's all about, it's all enterprise. It's, you know, if you had a stockpile of gold here and it was, let's say, $2,000 an ounce and in Saudi Arabia and it's $2,000 to $1,500 an ounce here, you're going to sell it to Saudi Arabia. Okay, you're just going to, you know, it's a marketable item and it's free enterprise. And it's really, that is what it is. So, as long as there is free enterprise to that degree. However, we're not going to get into the monopolies and how many oil companies there are and how few oil companies there are. And that's another topic which we don't want to get into tonight. But anyway, good deal. Good information. It's all related to trends. Trends being, looking at one right here. A lot of good information here also on NASA. Just shifting temperatures, which happened. I mean, we're saying this is because of this and because of that, but it probably has happened before. Everybody knows they have found plant life up in Siberia underneath snow that seems like it just had a sudden, this is all facts, a lot of facts. Well, how did they have tropical type plants in Siberia and how is it so fresh it was still in the mouths of the animals that were eaten and frozen eating it? So that's weird stuff. So we might have a few surprises coming down the pike that we've never seen before, and who knows. So it's going to have nothing to do with anybody because I think it's going to happen whether we want it to or not. Anyway, let's send it back out there. Tech Tuesday in the group.
I'm dreaming about global warming and really strange that when you start looking at the weather records, all of the high temperatures were a century or more ago. None of them have been, that I've heard of, have been anywhere within the last 20 years. I've been on
between, you know, the false science and the true science, and that's hard to do. But a lot of people don't do that. There are people, like probably yourself, myself, who go out and search this stuff down. A lot of people just sit back and say, well, this is what they said, so that's got to be true. I heard it on the internet. It's got to be true. No, wait a minute. Well, let's back up. Okay. You know, and we take too many things for granted that we are being told all the facts. Sometimes we're just told part of the facts, and they kind of paint a different picture. So you got to be careful, you know, like anybody else out there, you got to be careful how you evaluate all that stuff. And, you know, it's, you know, before you really get hard and fast on an opinion, I know I would always like to have all the information, and I know that I don't. But, you know, still think that a lot of these cycles are basically cycles of nature of this planet. It's been happening time and time again, and there's nothing we're going to do to change it. We're not that powerful yet, so I'll throw it back out there. KF6Q. All right, anyway, well, Michael, are you still out there?
Yep, we're still here, just listening to the conversation.
Okay, and I think what you did was it had nothing to do with greenhouse gases. You just got tired of paying an electric bill, so I love your solar panels. And you know what? That's pretty cool. That's something I like. If I install solar panels, it has nothing to do with greenhouse gases and global warming. It has the fact that I'm getting tired of paying high prices to Bear Valley Electric, period. So anyway, that's just my personal opinion anyway. So, well, Mike, thanks for all the help. Appreciate everybody being out there this evening. Of course, always love to discuss a few things. And we try not to get too political here, but, you know, there's a lot of things out there. It's hard not to anymore. So everybody out there, please, you know, research more, you know, and get all the facts you can, if you can. Things are changing all the time. And that's actually, it's for the good. Like I said, I think Harold mentioned that we've actually had certain areas that are going through a cooling cycle, which would be the pendulum starting to switch in the other direction. Who knows? So, could be interesting. Got a few more years on this earth, I hope. I do. And can't wait to see what's going to happen. However, don't know how fast it will. Could take hundreds of years. May only take one night. Oh, wait a minute. That was another movie. Okay. All right. Anyway, guys, everybody out there, appreciate everybody joining us this evening. Always love to talk about stuff and cool articles and things and sorts. Sometimes not always, always with ham radio. So, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net. We'll be closing the net this evening at 1900 hours, 43 minutes, returning the repeater back to normal use. Thanks again for everybody for joining us. See you again next week.
CLZ, give me a call, KD6LAN.
So, KD6LAN, this is WB6CLZ, clear.